This
is the producers.
A podcast.
The biggest names in audio production.
Station sound.
Branding.
Radio imaging.
And voiceover.
Voiceover.
Like me.
And me.
Hey. And me.
Bitches.
Interviews.
Tips.
Tricks.
Advice.
Plus the dirty little secrets you always wanted to know.
Or not. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com.
Now.
There's a word I never say in copy.
The producers.
With Ryan Green.
All right, here we are. Thanks again for checking out the Producers Podcast. This is going to be kind of a special episode. Not really interviewing a voice talent or a producer. I am interviewing a voiceover consultant. Maurice Tobias, as you've already seen from the title of the podcast. It's all digital. There's no secrets anymore. Anyway, Maurice Tobias is the guest. She's pretty amazing. She's highly regarded by just about every humongous major name in the world of voice, especially, well, maybe not especially, but definitely when it comes to the promo voice world. Radio imaging folks, some of the biggest names in radio imaging have gone to her for assistance. And it's not just to learn from the beginning, but it's also the super experienced, super talented guys and gals who've been doing it for quite a while that just want to get kind of some rejuvenation or get recharged later in their career. So I've already done the interview. Obviously, she had quite a bit to offer. I learned quite a bit. I think you'll learn a lot too, especially if you're interested in, if you're already in the voiceover world and you want to expand, if you're looking to just get into the voiceover world, I think you can learn quite a bit as well. But also, if you've been doing it for quite a while and you're one of these big names out there that checks out the podcast, I think you're probably going to get quite a bit out of this interview as well. So I will not waste too much more time except to say this is a two-parter, but the first part will be Maurice Tobias. The second part will be Pascal, who was the winner of the contest. I decided to do a quick interview with him. We did it. We did some digital trickery to make it happen. Hopefully you won't be able to tell, but even if you do, it's no big deal. It's going to be a good interview, and that'll be in part two. Also have a couple of future goings-ons in part number two. And let me think here. A couple of other little things I've noticed in the world. Yeah, there's some new services out there and whatnot that I think I want to highlight. But anyway, for now, we're going to dive right in to part number one, Maurice Tobias. Well, I have the pleasure to be joined by Maurice Tobias. Maurice, first, I will say thank you so much for giving me some of your time today.
Well, it's my pleasure. You come very highly recommended, so I'm happy to do this.
Certainly not as high as you, as I think we spoke kind of off the air, quote unquote, and I told you I've interviewed quite a few voice talents, and I mean, 80 to 90% of them bring you up. When I talk about, who would you or who have you used as a coach, they bring up your name, and everybody speaks very highly of you. So, thank you for your time for this.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, and thank you.
Now, and actually, I just clarified something, but I was going to refer to you as a voiceover coach, but I knew you do more than that in general, but also you would call yourself more of a voiceover consultant. Get into that just a little bit to give people the idea of what the difference might be.
Well, the difference is that I look at the entire career because of my background, which we'll probably talk about shortly. It's not any one thing. It's a combination of aspects that make for a successful career. And so we look at the image that someone is putting out there, not only with the read, but also the manner in which they're marketing themselves, in the way that they're handling themselves in terms of moving the career forward. So it's a comprehensive look at the career rather than just focusing on saying the words.
Seems like that would be pretty important. In fact, we'll get into more detailed about that and the different aspects that you you get into with your talent. But let's do a quick background on you. And I'll say this right out of the gate. I like to do this, but Tobias ENT, TobiasENT.com. That's the website that people can go check out and be looking at what you do while they listen to the podcast. But talk about where you've been. What are some of the things that you have done and that has brought you to where you are today?
Well, I would say when, people talk to me about, well, what's different about me coming into this arena, the point of difference is that, first and foremost, I'm not a performer, and that my background is writing, producing, directing, and consulting. So the perspective is my point of difference, and that is, from the point of view of the people who can hire the performer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a vastly different perspective. A lot of the people who train are performers themselves, so it's like the blind man and the elephant. Your perspective is where you speak from. And so while it's useful to hear from performers, particularly those at the top of the game who are extremely generous in sharing information and encouragement, the perspective that I offer is that difference from someone who has in the past and every once in a while hires talent, although that's generally not what I do. And when someone sends me their information and says, you know, would we want to put them in the database, we don't maintain a database for hiring, because that's generally what the clients that we work with on the other side of the glass or the virtual glass,
mm-hmm.
they're already on the path to hiring the talent. If they want our input, that's something we're happy to give based on the specs of what they're looking for.
Mm.
But generally, when someone calls us from a network or for a production company, they already have the talent in mind. This is mainly right now what I'm referring to when I talk about the other part of the work that we do, which is television and project consulting. And we work with creative teams, we work with production companies and networks, in addition to our work with individual talent.
And this would be, you know, if you're working with a television show, for example,
mm-hmm.
you would be assisting in I guess making their talent better that they've already hired.
Yes, a lot of times they've already got the host, or they've booked the talent, and they want an adjustment in the delivery. Sometimes I'll hear from theatrical managers or, you know, agents and managers who will suggest that a talent come and work with me, and they have specific reasons where they want something adjusted or something needs to be stepped up. So generally speaking, the performers that I work with are people who come to me on their own volition or there's referral and recommendation.
Cool. And again, there's more about you on your website,
mm-hmm.
as you told me, and we'll tell everybody, TobiasENT.com, because now we want to get more into the nitty-gritty about this.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that you are you're not a performer. And there's a series of interviews that I want to do, you being the first and premier, where I want to talk to the people that do the, you know, not just the training, but, you know, like you said, on the other side of the glass,
mm-hmm.
to get the performers that are listening to understand better what is, you know, needed or wanted out of them to get more jobs and better jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So first, talk about your role you know, as a coach. I guess we'll start as you as a coach and what you try and do for the talent that come to you.
Well, the first question I always ask someone is, how can I help you? Generally, someone has a particular thought or focus in mind. You know, a broad stroke is moving to the next level of accomplishment or strengthening an area that they haven't delved into, or they have, and you know, they're not getting as much opportunity as they used to or want to. So there's always a need. There's always a specific reason why someone is getting in touch. If they say, you know, I just want to step it up, or I just want to refresh, it's time to, you know, reinvent. But again, I try and get someone to have a specific statement in mind rather than someone saying, well, I just want to be coach.
Sure.
That's such a vast arena. And the other thing is, well, what area of are we going to be focusing on? And if we focus on the across-the-board career, great. But we're going to look at one piece of material at a time, so where do you want to start?
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you get pretty specific with people, and from what I've heard from other people, is talk about benefits. I guess we'll start a little general and then get specific. But generally speaking, what are the benefits that a voiceover talent can gain from a coach, especially, you know, maybe there's some things that you do that people may not realize they're going to get from a coach?
Well, again, because I'm not a performer, I've never trained with any other coach. I've never even observed anyone else working, so I can't speak for them. What I can say in general is, I borrow a lot of terms from sports, and the sports term is grow or die.
Okay.
And so you continually want to keep upping the ante for yourself. One of the ways that I love working with a performer is when nothing's wrong. When they call me and say, you know what, everything's going great, Can't complain, very grateful, want to take a look at something, because then there's no constriction around that. There isn't a need. There isn't a concern. Oftentimes, you know, I am working with someone who suddenly, you know, feels their reads have become stale, or the agent feels that way, or the producer feels that way. And so we'll look at both of those aspects. But the main benefit is the benefit of any sort of training, knowing what you're doing, knowing the lay of the land, understanding the industry. One of the areas that I think is the least focused on is the reality of the day-to-day of being a voice performer today.
And I think I know what you're talking about, but can you expand on that? And I think you're talking about the grind.
Yes, the grind, which, you know, everyone wants to get to, and then when they get to that, then they're complaining about that. I always think that a performer thinks their birthright is complaint. And there's a saying, and on my website, I've started doing a blog, and there's a series of articles I'll be doing on the whole concept of the law of attraction. And the law of attraction says whatever you pay attention to, whatever you give your attention to, grows larger in your life. So if you're, you know, working at the, you know, as much as you possibly can, but you're complaining a lot, then there is a tendency to have that resistance show up in the read, that there's a part of you that needs a break. So what you need to do is give yourself that break, so you come back into the booth, and you come back, you know, with a sense of excitement and anticipation, rather than feeling like, the term is the golden handcuffs. And
yeah,
I see that in emails, and I hear that in conversation all the time. I'm tied to my studio. My studio is my prison. It's starting to feel like a jail cell. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people would like to have that problem right now.
Can you talk about some things? Now, you just mentioned, you know, people might need to step away from the studio for a bit, but for some of those people that have gained quite a bit of work and they really feel like they can't step away from the studio, do you have things that you recommend or offer up for people to get their head right, to get them a little more positive in life and to get better?
Well, the first thing I recommend, and sometimes this is, you know, at the moment in time we're talking, is impossible. But if you're designing your workspace and you can do it, the one word I have for everyone is the word window.
Window is good, right?
Window is good, or somehow, some way, even if on your screensaver you've got some kind of scenery, or you've got an aquarium, something that relieves the sense of confinement. And when you think about the booth itself has been defined as a very small space, because it used to occupy space almost exclusively at a studio, at a network, somewhere else where they were very jealous of that real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be as jealous of that real estate. Eventually, if you're just starting out, now of course you're working in the closet and you're reading into your clothes, fine. That's for now. But work towards having a space that you really enjoy, you love going into, and make it as big as you can. When you calculate how many hours and years of your life, from my lips to God's ears, that you're going to spend in this space, make it wonderful.
So, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing the whisper room might not be on the top of your list of things to have in your studio.
To be honest with you, they look like upright coffins to me.
And you're essentially relegating yourself to prison for your life.
Well, you know, it's a confinement. Now, there are some people who enjoy, you know, they find it cozy.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of people who say, I'm having difficulty booking out of my booth. I find myself getting a little anxious when I step in. The other is how they actually arrange the equipment. And the suggestion that I have is, don't design your space for how it looks in the room. This isn't furniture.
Mm.
This should be designed so that it is the least invasive and the least of a distraction for you. So years ago, when people were building booths initially, and I'm working with them either in a coaching session or I'm working with them on auditions or actual gigs, I'll hear them in the booth, and they're getting ready. We've got the read where we want it, and they say, okay, just a second. And now they hear them stepping out and going over to wherever the workstation is, and now coming back, and now they have to get their head back into where they were.
Hmm.
So they've designed the room for how it looks, you know. So when you walk in, it's, you know, they treat it all like a piece of furniture instead of designing it in such a way where it is almost a no-brainer. You hit a button, you can see the screen, you've got the keyboard in front of you, but it's all about the read.
Yeah, and that almost gets back to, I hear this a lot, you know, people are more interested in letting others see how cool their booth is.
I know.
And what you're talking about is functionality, and they've forsaken functionality in making themselves a better talent just so that they can show off photos.
Well, and, you know, there is a part of that. I mean, techie talk is fun. I personally don't have much to say about it. That's my business partner. He can talk for weeks on end and not repeat a topic. He is quite a genius that way. But it, to me, it's all about, there was a time when I was having a background in ad agency work, and I'm one of the creative heads of several agencies. And at one point, we were getting ready for production, and the head of the production department came in and said, "You have to stop changing things all the time." I said, "We're not changing it. The client's changing it." Very, very agitated with the fact that there were changes right up to the last minute. And I said, "Let me get something clear here. Does production serve creative, or is it the other way around?"
Yeah.
Basically, all the toys, all the tools, all the trappings of the career, which people tend to get very, very caught up with, all are there to serve one purpose, and that is to enhance the physical environment, the actual recording itself, but ultimately, it's all about the read.
I was going to move on. Let me just go expand on that a little bit. Have you noticed in your time in this business, has creative been, how big of a hit has creative taken, or the creative process, or the final product taken over the years? Because especially in the radio world, I think everybody would agree that it has been consistently been pushed to the back burner, and, you know, people aren't allowed to be as creative as they would want to be these days.
Oh, I agree, and I think that's across the board. I think that everywhere except the fine performing arts, you're going to see compromises, and it boils down to two things: time and money.
Yeah.
And with consolidation, and with minds being brought to an analysis of where dollars are going, where these points of view don't understand the creative process and how valuable it is. There are assumptions that are made absolutely everywhere, and then the creative teams have to perform within those assumptions, even if they're wrong.
Yeah. It's, I think we could probably go off on, I don't want to get too negative here, right? So we won't go off on that anymore.
Well,
I
can discuss this, you know, with people when they have issues and so forth, and I'll let people discharge they're upset for a certain amount of time, and then I'll go, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And unless you want me, after we finish working together today, to make a phone call and call the industry and say, you know what, Jerry likes it the way it used to be, and could we please all go back?
Yeah.
I mean, it is useful to discharge a certain amount of that energy, but to continually focus on it serves no purpose.
And that goes back to what you kind of started with, is when the voice talent gets negative in their mind, it comes out in their read, and that's
absolutely
no good for any... Okay.
Yeah, one of my main phrases is, the voice is the mirror of the mind. Whatever is going on for you is going on for your read.
Yeah. Well, let's move a little bit, change gears here a little bit. Maybe let's start at a couple different levels, but if you're a brand new voice talent, and you think you've got some skills, and you've been booking a couple jobs, but they're looking to get some training, in your opinion, what are some things that people, and again, this is at the lower level, should be looking for in a coach? You know, a specialist, different skills. And again, you haven't worked with other coaches, but just generally speaking, what?
Well, generally speaking, what you want is, number one, you want information. And, you know, the recommendation of people that you admire and respect. So much of our business at every level is based on referral. So there are websites where you can get a tremendous amount of information, again, from some very generous performers who are at the top of their game. Always work at the top. Always listen to people who are actually doing the work, who are actually, you know, the names that get mentioned on a regular basis. Several of them, two of them come to mind immediately, Bo Weaver, Joe Cipriano.
Sure.
They're, you know, at that level of the business, we're talking the real deal. And they are very, very straightforward with telling you the absolute truth about working in this business. And then working backwards from that, looking at people who are training, looking at their background. If they are performers themselves, what are they doing? Are they working in the genres at the level that you want to attain? And, you know, it really boils down to do your research, be as informed as you can before you make your decision.
And then from that, I'd ask you, if people are out there and they're thinking, you know, I am at the stage where I want to pay good money for some good coaching, are there misconceptions people might have about what they're going to actually get from a coach?
Again, because I haven't worked with any other coaches, I don't know what their business model is, but I think the first assumption is that a coach will help you get an agent. Some will, some won't. I personally, because I'm one person at the level that I work at, I will discuss information based on what certain agents are known for. Some have more strengths in certain areas. Some are what we call boutique, which means they don't necessarily represent promo trailer. But where their focus is, they are, you know, they're the gold standard within animation. There are others that focus strictly on commercial or non-broadcast. And then there are what I call the full service, which are those agents that represent across the board with designated agents departments for specific areas of the industry. One of the aspects that people getting into voiceover have to understand is voiceover is a broad stroke term for several other industries with several different groups of buyers and secret handshakes, requirements, the manner in which they will work with you when they're actually working with you. They're very distinct. So depending on where you want your career to go, you'll probably work with different people at different times in your career.
Okay. It's any other misconceptions that people have, you know, people that have come to you for coaching thinking they're going to get X, Y, and Z, and it turns out they were just incorrect. They didn't know what to expect from a coach, you know, and they were just wrong?
Well, generally, it takes longer than they think.
Okay.
It takes years to become amazing, awesome. And that's what producers want to hire, and they can. Those people are available. So when you are looking to enter any field in voiceover, you are actually competing with all of the voices that are already there. So I think one of the considerations, which is maybe not exactly what you're asking me, but I find people put themselves out on the market too soon.
You mean they haven't acquired the skills necessary, and
right,
therefore they put a bad product out too early and they sully their name?
Well, that, and they wind up staying at a certain level longer than they would have anticipated because they're not really competitive. I mean,
okay,
that's really the bottom line. Are you competitive? And you have to be very honest with yourself about that. It's not, oh, that sounds pretty good, or that's okay. That's not what a producer's going to hire. They don't have to.
Right. Well, especially, and I guess you would agree that over the last, 10 years, the amount of people in voiceover has grown infinitely.
Oh, it's cell dividing as we speak.
Yeah. It's because it's so much easier for the average person to get into it these days.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's easy because, you know, you can put up a website, you can post demos,
yeah,
and you declare yourself a voice talent. And if you really want a career and you want a substantial career, you've got to lay a good foundation.
So speaking of that then, if somebody has made the decision, they want to invest in themselves and they want to get a coach of some sort, it might be you, they might be at that level. What are some advice you can give them, some things they can do to get the most out of these coaching sessions?
Well, because there's so much information on the web, on the internet, is do your homework. Really, really learn about the industry and learn about the subtleties and the differences. One of the observations that I make is that, because I'm assuming a lot of your audience is the radio world.
Yeah, that would be true.
Okay. So what we're looking at is someone who's working at a radio station or even, you know, doing production outside for radio stations and listening to promo work or listening to work for affiliates and thinking, well, that sounds, you know, very similar, if not exactly what I'm doing. And so they put a demo together and then they wonder why everyone says it's too radio. It's because they haven't educated themselves enough. They haven't listened enough to hear what the distinctions are, and they're very subtle. The most difficult transition is the transition from radio because it's so similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the more similar the transition is, the more difficult it is to make. And then for the established working pro that's working in so many areas throughout the day, it's a challenge for them, even at the level that they're working at, to cleanly shift gears from doing their imaging work to now doing a commercial, to now doing a trailer, to now doing narration, and to make those transitions instantly, because the work occurs instantly,
yeah,
and cleanly, so it sounds like at any moment in time, whatever material you're reading, it sounds like that's all you do all day, because the producer has that perspective. That's all they do all day.
Sure.
So you are working for a lot of different industries that on first observation seem almost identical. It is reading from a page. But once you get past that and into the subtleties, that's where the distinctions lie, and that's why there is a certain amount of people who are working on a regular basis, because producers know they can count on them to make those transitions and to deliver for them without even really having to guide them to the reads. A lot of performers at the top of the game aren't being directed. They, you know, the read is set when they are booked, but for the ongoing work, they are recording on their own or with an engineer and sending the material in without a producer present.
And I guess that's why, especially in the radio imaging world, there are a few voices that have a lot of stations,
right?
Because they can be counted on, and you know that you're going to get the read you need back every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me get into this just real briefly. Can you just give me your thoughts on, and it's something I've brought up on these podcasts in the past a couple times, but not too often, but the stigma of radio person in the voiceover world, how bad is that for someone to have and also, you know, and then become successful in other realms, obviously?
Well, the stigma has to do with the impression of a radio read. And the radio read, because it occurs so quickly, it's rip and read, it's impersonal. It sounds very mechanical, and a lot of the manner in which the actual delivery occurs sounds very dated.
Because, yes,
you know, communication is fashion-driven. And so the radio read does tend to be frozen in time, depending on what station you're working for, you know, all the variables. It's also the focus that a radio performer has on their work, which is all about the sound. So the distinction that I use is, if you look at a weightlifter versus a skier or a cyclist or a swimmer, their physical body has to look different.
Yeah.
A weightlifter builds those muscles, and that's what I would say a radio focus is. It's the beef of the read. It's the punch and the power of the read. It's all about the sound itself. You get into voiceover, and now you have the refinements of all different other kinds of sports. What kind of sport are you playing? Well, that's what your body's going to look like. Now, for those performers who are playing different sports, you know, you step into those different bodies. One minute you're swimming, one minute you're running, one minute you're a gymnast, one minute you're an ice skater.
Hmm. I like that analogy. I think that makes a lot of sense. I wanted to talk specifically about what you do. Now, you do sessions, you do seminars, you do over-the-phone sessions. I'm interested to know, I imagine it's a little more affordable for someone to start out maybe by doing some phone sessions instead of, you know, especially if the person's in, you know, Tampa or something.
Well, it's, you know, the amount, you know, for the session, the fee for the sessions are the same whether we're over the phone or whether they're in front of me, because it's really about time.
Sure.
You know, the sessions are an hour at a time. Most of my work, even when I'm in the same city, the same zip code as clients, because again, I focus on the ongoing established career. A lot of these people just can't break free during the day, and especially in LA, you know, going anywhere is a 3-hour commitment, just getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So, but when I'm in New York, I have clients where I, you know, wherever I stay, sometimes they're 4 blocks away. I'll see them for dinner, but I'll work with them over the phone during the day, because I do two kinds of sessions. I do the hour coaching, and then with people who I'm working with on a regular basis, I do 20-minute audition sessions where I actually direct their auditions that they're sending in,
okay,
sometimes even the job itself.
I think you've basically answered my question then, that a phone session can be equally effective to a session in person.
Sure, because when I listen to someone read, I have my eyes closed anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, cool. It is terrific if we're able to meet, you know, initially.
Mm-hmm.
And people also ask, what's the difference? You know, wouldn't I get more out of the private or the seminar? There's a reason why I do both. One is objective learning. One is subjective learning. And the benefit of the weekends is huge, because you're given the opportunity certainly to work on mic, but observing your fellow peers in the booth and hearing the same note that I may have given you or I may have given someone else, and see how that now applies to someone. Now you're in objective learning as opposed to being in the booth where you're in subjective learning.
That I like that. In fact, I was going to go there. In fact, you also have a seminar coming up. Is it this weekend? But
yes.
Get into that a little bit for people to understand. I mean, these are some of the top talent in the country coming together. And tell us kind of what goes on there.
Well, what goes on is that, you tend to rise to the bar of the room. So I'm always looking to make sure that the level of performer is balanced. We just finished a seminar in Las Vegas that was specifically designed for men at the top of their game. We've done two seminars exclusively for women. One was in Sedona this past winter, and the other was this summer in, Santa Fe and then Sedona. And so a lot of the guy clients called and said, well, what about us? So we chose Vegas, pretty obvious for guys, and we did a seminar where we had people come in from not only all across the U.S., but Canada and even Japan. And, there were several, if not almost all of them, were six-figure careers. There were two careers that are seven-figure careers. What are they doing there? They're getting re-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
They're connecting. They're, you know, getting away from the day-to-day of their own focus and recycling their own information and getting re-inspired. They now have a whole group of new friends, or they've connected with some people that they already know. And there's a lot that goes on throughout the day in between gigs where they're connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it not so lonely. And it also re-inspires people. It refreshes the excitement and the drive. And there's just no way of duplicating that in any other aspect of the business, because the work is so isolating.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I've already taken up 30 minutes of your time, but you have to allow me two more questions.
Sure.
Again, I'll mention the website, TobiasENT.com, and they can get more on what you do with those kinds of things. And boy, they do sound, like you said, let's start with the isolation. I've heard voice talents of all sorts really kind of complain about that grind and that isolation. And we've already kind of talked about what people can do to sort of keep themselves sane. But, you know, getting together with talent, are there other things that you've seen people do that really help out with that feeling of isolation and no interaction with others throughout your days?
Well, the first thing, of course, is having a vista of some kind. Obviously connecting with people, your family and so forth. But the most important thing is to, you know, have a life. And that's an important piece of advice for any creative person or any person on the planet. But creative people particularly, you have to keep filling up the well with a variety of experiences from which to draw on when you're doing your work. So if you've done, let's say you're coming out of sweeps, and you've been, in a lot of confinement. So, these are very obvious suggestions. Take a hike. Go to a museum. Go see a show. Go see a film. Do something that engages the other side of the brain.
Yeah. I think the important thing to take there is remove yourself from your isolation and go do something that does something completely different than what voiceover does for you.
Yes, and don't lose your sense of humor.
Yeah. I wanted to ask your opinion on sort of the natural talent aspect. I've asked a couple other kind of major voice talents about this, but if you take somebody that may sound as if they have an awful voice, you know, they don't have a voice that you think customarily would be on, a television or a radio, and also they have absolutely no training whatsoever, Is it possible to turn anyone into a successful voiceover talent, or is there a certain amount of just natural talent and ability that has to be there?
I have to say yes and no.
Okay.
And part of that has to do with how much someone wants it. And that's just life in general. We all know people who don't have necessarily the God-given gift, but they have the drive, the desire, they've got the hunger. And they've gotten to levels that are astonishing. And then there are those people who do have it and for whatever reason have never been willing to break a sweat or have other issues. They have a lot of noise in their head and they never have achieved what it is that everybody says, I don't know why this person is a star.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very personal human conversation. But I never underestimate the power of desire and the power of passion. Now, whether or not that voice is ultimately appealing, that's going to be determined out there in the marketplace.
But let's say you do start with a voice that's just, well, I'm just going to be straight up. It's awful. It's not appealing. It doesn't...
To be honest with you, Ryan,
yeah,
that's generally not a phone call I get.
Okay.
You know, somebody's, you know, they've already made the round somewhere, and somewhere along the line, someone has hopefully said to them not to give up their day job.
Okay.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is a chosen profession. And, you know, if somebody has nothing to bring to the party, why are they pursuing this work?
I think it's important for people to be honest with each other.
Yeah.
Final question would just be, and it might be simple. I always ask everybody I interview for their one key piece of advice. If they could break it down to one thing that they would tell, you know, young up-and-comers on how to be successful in this industry, what would that be?
The more patient you are with your progress, the quicker you will move.
Oh, interesting. That's like a proverb. That's very good. Maurice Tobias, thank you so much for your time. People are going to be very excited to know that I got to interview you and put that out there to the world in the podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing it.
The Producers.